Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another program of A Moment with Self. As always, I'm really grateful for the opportunity that you're giving me to share my understandings in the field of whole person psychology with you. In this approach, we look at every human being as a complete and able phenomenon that's ready to prevent diseases, and it's every person is equipped with possibilities to heal injuries, and in most conditions, we are able to overcome them. As a clinical psychologist and a licensed marriage and family therapist, along with my colleagues at the Wheel of Well-Being, we all agree that a healthy state of mind, a body that's physically fit, and a spirit that's believing in a sense of certainty in its abilities can live in harmony and with optimum joy in a state of balance. And it's balance that's the foundation of a sense of well-being. It is my friends and myself at Wheel of Well-Being's belief that an integrative and preventive model of healthcare is what we need to be looking forward in the future as our consciousness is rising. And maintaining health instead of taking care of sicknesses is what we believe in. Instead of the traditional model of sick care, which means that we get sick first and then we have to look for cure, we believe that by prevention and integrating models that they are helpful to our balanced lifestyle, we can overcome more situations at faster and more effective ways. The topic of our program in this evening is joy versus pleasure. And together we will see how actually it's all tied in with the integrative model of wellness, because we're talking about joy as the crown jewel of this system. Once we have an internal state of joy and inner peace, we can prevent many sufferings, and through seeking pleasure, we're going to learn how we may be just indulging ourselves with self-destructive behavior or patterns and create illnesses. Let me point out some of the reasons that the new consciousness in living a balanced lifestyle is needed for our future, and as the whole person psychology, why it is important to understand the process of prevention towards a joyful state of being. First, let's talk about the emotional cost of sick care. It is really huge. It's tremendously painful at the same time. We can all witness people around us that are suffering from stress, they're depressed, they're feeling anxious, and they cannot simply be relaxed or be comfortable with their positions in their lives. And not having that peaceful state of mind really becomes a debilitating force in their lives. This kind of suffering and tension eventually leads to severe illnesses and physical breakdowns, and the immune system cannot really function properly as the result of that. And when we are able to care about our emotional and mental state of well-being, then the chances of developing chronic conditions are much less. The second reason that I would like to discuss with you is the financial cost of sick care, which has been driving a lot of people out of healthcare insurances, and the number of the people who do not have healthcare insurance are unprecedented. There are over 26% of Americans ages between 18 and 64. That means a quarter of the population of this country are not having insurance, and in 2009 statistics shows that 40% of the adults within the same age group who had high blood pressure, they had asthma, diabetes, they had no health insurance, and they went without any kind of medical care because in the last 12 months prior to that, they were put in situations that couldn't afford it anymore. The cost of prevention, however, is much less than treatment. We can see organizations like Kaiser, who have implemented the preventive care into their system, have become more profitable, and they have been able to get more results with their patients. So hopefully we can see that as new thoughts and new organizations in the field are learning more about preventive and integrative medicine, they are using it in the benefit of the society at large. One problem that there is the pharmaceutical companies and the medical field are still not accepting because of many reasons that a lot of them are political, financial, and it's beyond the scope of the conversation that we have tonight, but there are obstacles on the way. The other reason that we're talking about is the pharmaceutical products, besides having the high cost and the image of the quick fix that they're promising, when they use over a long period of time, they create dependencies, and they also have major side effects that are more debilitating in certain conditions. The more we can concentrate on the preventive care and the balanced lifestyle that we are promoting, we notice that there is a less need to rely on medication, and there are more possibilities for having a healthier lifestyle instead of having more possibilities for creating dependency based upon the medication. Dependency is becoming a huger and huger factor as life goes on, and we see how it's not just about drugs. There are in a lot of different areas, as we're going to be discussing this evening, that we see dependencies are taking a form of pleasure seeking, or just numbing the pain or avoiding frustration and suffering, and how this dependency is becoming another element that make our society dysfunction. If we realize that dependency is highly curable through integrative model, and instead of spending thousands of hours and millions of dollars and outrageous numbers of personal disappointments and failures, which is invested in addictions, we can simply change lifestyles and hopefully see the results in the years to come. And the last reason that we are having this conversation about the integrative model and preventive care is by using this model, we are utilizing our inner resources that are not costing much, and instead of subjecting ourselves to external elements, we are using the gift that's within us, and we can just manifest a better outcome just by what we have. As you have probably heard me talk about the eight areas of life that need attention, I'm going to just run through them very briefly. There's first the need for our physical care. Once we have that, there are a lot of things that we can do with that physical healthy state. Our mental health needs to be addressed at every given time. Our emotional state needs security and needs to be fulfilled. Our relationships need to be respected and accounted for. Our education, continuous education, needs pursuit of and needs following through and needs updating. Our core beliefs need to be reexamined, because sometimes we come to these lifestyles with certain understanding and ideas that maybe at some point they were true, but then later on in life they are not holding the same value that they had for us as children. And then our personal or financial values are needed to be cared for, because without having values, it's very hard to feel balanced, happy, content, or joyful. Yes, our conversation about joy and pleasure is something that needs a lot of attention. And I continuously feel in my field of work that I have to deal with this on a daily basis. As my work in the addiction recovery field, I witness a lot of patients who have used a variety of drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, and dependent relationships to just numb the pain or find some sort of pleasure instead of what they don't have. They're mostly confused between the need for feeling joy or the need for feeling pleasure in the hope of being happy. And it is in my private practice that I notice that how the patients that I deal with have stopped seeking pleasure and they live joyless lives with no hope of ever feeling happy again. And they go to the extremes of hopelessness, helplessness, and even many of them with suicidal thoughts. I hope tonight with my special guest we can clarify some of the confusion and promote more hope in finding joy. You're welcome to call us at 909-533-8385. I will repeat, you're welcome to call us at 909-533-8385 and share with us your opinions, your understanding about joy and pleasure. We leave the lines open, and as you call, we'll bring you online. I have invited my esteemed colleague, Parisa Amir Mostofian, to join me on this important topic, since the two of us are often noticing how the understanding of the differences between pleasure and joy changes our clients' outlooks and perspectives and how it helps them to make better choices as they go along. Mrs. Parisa Amir Mostofian is an art therapist who has lived on three continents. She has experienced life through many different lenses. Over the last three decades, through her artistic training, several years of being a midwife, working in hospital settings, research in abnormalities of sperms, investigations in hormonal correlations in breast cancer, and also working as a life coach and an art therapist, she has made a lot of achievements. She's also the mother of two, proud mother of two, and she lives in Los Angeles. Parisa is continuing her education as a clinical fellow at Loyola Marymount University. She also practices gladly with us at Wheel of Wellbeing as an MFT intern and art therapist. She holds a master's degree also in medicine, and she is educated in color light therapy, magnet therapy, and vibrational healing. Let's welcome Parisa, and let's start finding out about joy versus pleasure. Hi, Parisa.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening to you. Welcome again. I'm glad to have you again on this program. And go ahead and say if you have anything to just say to our listeners.
Thank you for the opportunity. I certainly enjoy listening to your radio blog, and I'm so grateful to be here tonight, especially talking about joy and pleasure, which both they found very positive and very interesting.
Great. So let me just go right to the question. How do you differentiate joy and pleasure, and how do they relate with happiness? What's the correlation of joy and pleasure with happiness, in your opinion?
Oh, well, it's very important first we know that what is the definition, what it means, what pleasure means, what happiness means, what joy means. And then when we exactly know what they are, then we can differentiate them. I start with pleasure because as a human, we strive, as you said, for happiness. But the first accessible tool in order to feel gratified is through pleasure-seeking behavior. Pleasure is an experience which is extremely subjective. For example, people, they take different, you know, they will take different activities or they do something to gratify a need. And if we expose them in the same kind of pleasurable situation, they don't actually take a pleasure out of it the same amount. Some of the people, for example, they like cake, they enjoy eating it and they take lots of pleasure out of it, but some of the people like other tastes, for example. But the experience of pleasure is subjective, as I said, and it's associated with satisfying basic biological drives, such as eating, exercise, sex. And as you see, that it sometimes is associated with social experiences, social drive, like when we accomplish something, recognition, service, and if you come look at it as a more bigger form of cultural artifact, activities such as art, music, and literature can bring us pleasure when we are involved in it. But when we move from the biological part and go to the human purpose or need in life, we get to happiness. Happiness is the experience of feeling good. It's like the experience is inside and often is expressed outward. For example, when a person is happy, they show. It's very noticeable. They bubble up, they, you know, they talk excited, they laugh, and it's usually triggered. Happiness is triggered by some external situation, event, or object. And then if we go one step higher, we get to joy. And the experience of joy is a delightful happiness. It's not necessarily triggered by external stimuli and is less outwardly expressive, and it's the way that the person feels more content, the person is more in tune and in balance. That's the differences, and that's how we differentiate them.
That's excellent. Let me just recap what I heard from you and see if that is saying it in complete form of it. Also, I just want to mention to you that your phone has some static. If you can change that phone, that may be great. Well, I'm going to summarize this. So I understood you as saying that if we look at a spectrum starting from pleasure seeking all the way to joy, pleasure sounds to me to be like an action. We act towards fulfilling certain needs, and that's more physically and internally gratifying based. As we move to happiness, it sounded to me that you're talking about the transitional state that is through the physical, physiological satisfaction or gratification, which is internal, coming to showing some external emotion that is not just physical, it's more emotional and sensual. And I guess that is covering both elements of joy and pleasure, probably. And as we move up to joy, then that is just an inner and outer state, which is not an action or transition. It is just a state of being that is coming from the heart, is more precious, is more blissful, and it's just a place in our emotional system that doesn't have any interference. Is that covering what you were saying?
Absolutely. You did it great, yes.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to clarify all of this together. And so now that we said that, let's move on to small music, and then we come back and we continue. remind you of? Thaisa?
Hello?
Oh, hi. I guess we lost you for a moment. Are you
can
back?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we
yes,
can
yes.
hear you now. Great. So what did this music remind you of?
Yeah, it was like just childhood. I don't know whether
right,
it's
exactly.
before.
I just wanted to capture that joyful feeling of childhood where we do not have any of these interferences that as grown-ups we have. And we see how simply we can just have something that resonates with our core way of being. And I hope that was clear enough how we can be back in the joy by just hearing something. Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with pleasure seeking? Aren't we born to be happy just like what we heard that made us happy? Aren't we supposed to be happy and just find little things like this music to get happy?
Yes, absolutely. This is, we are as humans, we always are or constantly, we are avoiding pain and we are thriving toward happiness and to feeling content and balance. It's our nature. If we have born that way, and this is our nature. I agree. There is nothing wrong with pleasure seeking behavior. Pleasure seeking behavior, as you mentioned, has a biological base, and this is the easiest, the most accessible tool in order to experience happiness. And if we didn't have the tools, the biological tools, in order to connect with outside world or environment, if the pleasure wasn't there, if, for example, the experience wasn't pleasurable, then we didn't know how to protect ourselves if the situation is inflicting pain, and also we wouldn't thrive for connecting with the outside environment. Mm. Music, nature, you know, beauty, all of this brings us pleasure and then prepares us to take the next step to walk toward happiness, to then finally to walk toward joy, which is makes the complete fulfillment of human.
But Parisa, sometimes our choices, although they make sense and they're appropriate and they're logical, sometimes there are hidden reasons behind them. We make some decisions to seek pleasure because we are perceiving that you know, the challenges are very painful and we want to make them painless. There are a lot of times that our security, for example, feels threatened, and then we substitute pleasure to avoid the suffering. And the psychological defense mechanisms that you and I have talked about in another program, they kick in also as pleasure-seeking tools. So how about those? What are we going to do with those? I know as human beings, we want to be happy and we have the right to be happy, but how can we just distinguish those times than our true need for happiness?
Oh, it's when a person knows, when a person is aware that the ultimate happiness is not the pleasure, and then the person knows it has to look for something more. And you know, this is very interesting because millions of people who have become addicted to pleasure, it's at the exclusion of joy and happiness. Like they don't know. They don't know that there is something more in life, and they just keep on pushing on gratifying the basic needs, the biological needs. For example, like overeating or using drug. And this actually leaves them, it starts the pleasure, it starts big, and then gradually it fades quickly and leaves them feeling empty. If they know there is something more in true life, and if they experience the true happiness, then they know that pleasure doesn't take them there.
even though they exceed that, unless they are, as you said, avoiding a painful situation, and they are, their coping skills is lacking, and in order, rather than using their coping skills and strengths, inner strengths, they use outside help, not in a constructive way, in a destructive way, like you're using drug and numbing themselves, or, you know, overeating, and again, overeating. It just becomes too compulsive, and then they can't stop it.
Well, that is very true, and what I want to just mention is also a lot of times the earlier experiences that we have in life and the sensitivities that are developed in early stages of life doesn't leave us any choice, at least at the earlier stages of life, but to find those defense mechanisms of pleasure seeking. And then as adults, then we do not find the different choices, and we stuck with the same choices that we had, and the pleasure seeking continues, this time not in the form of the defensive mechanisms, but in forms of quick fixes, self-soothing activities, self-gratification, self-indulgence, and irrational decisions that we just make in pursuit of the relief of those issues that bother us, in the hope that we're going to gain happiness.
Yes, but, you know, the thing is, the person keeps doing it, and the result always is disappointment, is anxiety,
right,
is depression. And they realize that every time they are using this pleasure-seeking and gratifying activity, momentarily they are experiencing or they feel good, but quickly it fades away. And when they face that and they see that that false happiness and that basic pleasure doesn't last longer, and it ends to depression, then they realize they are on wrong path, and they realize they have to replace it, first educate themselves or get help from professionals. And becoming familiar, for example, the goal of this session is just to bring the awareness to people that pleasure is different than happiness and is different than joy. And then by bringing awareness and seeking help, they can replace the pleasure with activities that bring joy.
That's very true. So let me ask you this. How pleasure-seeking and self-gratification, they replace each other or they get mixed up with joy?
I think one of the main reasons that we settle for pleasure rather than joy is because we don't know the difference, or even that there is a difference between pleasure and joy. We don't know how to find it.
Don't you think that
when
know the difference?
Sorry?
Don't you think that people feel the difference, sense the difference? Or do you think it's just knowing is a knowledge, like an intellectual understanding?
As soon as they know, then they will notice it. For example, I believe, like sometimes we do, if the pleasurable experience, for example, having sex, when a person is in love with someone, and it's a pleasurable experience, and it leaves the person fulfilled, then they realize it wasn't all about sex. There is something behind that that it leads to happiness and joy. Then that person knows, because, you know, the knowledge always comes with experience. If you have a knowledge and then you have experience and the knowledge adds to the experience, you own the knowledge. Then it becomes wisdom. It's something, that you own, and then you know it does exist, and then you work toward that goal. I think having knowledge, if the person never experienced it, at least they seek the knowledge. They know there is something, or people are talking about it, that other people have experienced it, and gradually they become familiar with it, and they can hopefully experience it in their lives.
So, I agree with you. So the knowledge is important, and I think we can maybe add awareness to knowledge also.
Sure.
Because in our
Absolutely.
Society today, you know, the pleasure-seeking or having addictive behavior it's really easy because there is such an abundance of gratifying situations all around us and being marketed to us by the system. And we have freedom in our society to take advantage of a lot of these addictive or pleasurable pursuits instead of following to find joy. So, for example, when we're talking about the materialistic amenities that are available to us, or the possibility of achieving high status by pursuing more financial freedom, or just the expressions that we can have through our models of fashion or, artistic creativities. There's a lot of abundance of everything that's around us, and I'm wondering if that is contributing to the confusion between pleasure-seeking and true joy.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. It's a great point you just mentioned. I'm so glad you brought it up, because as we notice, is advertising, for example, commercials, is all about, having fun, being in the moment, not present moment, actually, just like for example, drinking is being advertising so much, and just they bring sex and lots of simulation, which is all pleasure oriented, rather than promoting happiness or joy. I absolutely agree with you, and I think that's one of the great influences that push people toward the pleasure-seeking behaviors, even culturally. They are, as you said, they are doing it because social status, for example, or accomplishment. Accomplishment can be very joyful when it serves the person and others, but accomplishment can be, like corporations, they accomplish so much money, lots of status, but at what cost? I totally agree with you. It was a great point you brought up. Thank you.
You know what's really interesting is that if we look at, our ancestors a few generations ago, especially where you and I come from a Persian background, we can see how in the past, the earlier fathers perceived happiness in, for example, seeing the eye of the beloved, or the glimpse of the moon, or the early morning breeze, or, the sound of the laughter, or, the shade of a willow tree, the fragrance of the roses, and so many other things that they were really joy-oriented, and they were not pleasure-centered. However, nowadays we can see that how beauties and values are just seen through stress-producing situations. For example, now we have to pay high items for alcohol or gambling or drugs or pornography, food. And one thing that we see so many of them in Los Angeles, especially plastic surgeries and overworking, overexercising, which they're all a lot of numbing experiences rather than pursuit of joy. And then we kind of label them as happiness producing. So it's really confusing in our society today to distinguish between pleasure and joy.
That's so true, absolutely. And because it's not been promoted enough, it's very hard to get a grasp of. It's easier to focus on whatever we have been fed by advertising, by media, rather than, to really delve into what it means to have a joyful life. Absolutely, I agree with you.
When I was looking for music for this program, I came across a song that was called Joy by Whitney Houston. And as you know, passing of Whitney Houston is really shocking.
Yes.
We still don't know exactly why, but we know. And a lot of times with these sort of deaths, there is indulgence, either alcohol or medication. Mm-hmm. We really don't know exactly what happened. But it was really hitting me hard to see the song Joy by Whitney Houston, which I have cut a couple of minutes of that, and then see how this kind of joy can kill people. Just let's listen to
absolutely.
That.
Something. Actually, having joyful experiences is much easier than having pleasurable experiences, because joy starts from within. Pleasure, you have to go after something in order to get it. Just because people, they don't hear joy so much, they don't think, oh my God, joy is too far, we can't reach it, because only it's been promoted by religion, and this is something you have to be holy or sin-free or not to make any sin in order to experience joy. That's not that. Joy is very innate, very accessible, is inside of all of us. Joy is pure and makes us feel good about ourselves. Pleasure,
it's really
is
interesting that, as we were saying, how the commercials sell joy instead, I mean, sell pleasure instead of joy. I was watching the BMW commercial, and their logo is about joy. You know, everything that they talk about is joy. While they're just you immediate gratification of speeding or driving a fast car. So they really make it confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. This is amazing. It made me laugh. I didn't saw that, but it made me laugh. Like, they use the name, you know, the name, people, like, they don't experience it. The name is too amazing, and they go for it. When I say that joy is when you feel good about yourself, but in regards to pleasure is momentary, and then you don't feel good about yourself when it is done. For example, you are watching your weight, you are having a big cupcake, you enjoy it's a pleasurable experience while you are eating it, and after that, right after that, you are not happy with yourself. And for example, people, they go after sex, or the sex is not appropriate for them, or considering their situation, and then after that they feel shameful. And it depends how far you go to get to pleasure, and it can absolutely leave you with guilt, shame, and lots of negative feeling.
So when I guess that's how I understand it, that once pleasure is just for the sake of gaining some momentarily value and without considering what happens after that, it's not really the kind of pleasure that you want. Although we can still have pleasure that we understand, you know, the consequences of it, and we can still have pleasure. But the times that it's just for the sake of a moment without afterthoughts, without really being responsible or making responsible choices, I think that's where pleasure seeking becomes a negative connotation.
Absolutely. And also joy starts slow and builds up. It's like with pleasure starts big and then fades quickly and leaving you feeling empty when you are after pleasure. But joy, you experience joy. It's like a glimpse. You have a joyful experience. It stays inside. The memory stays with you. And then when you have, for example, after a while, another joyful experience, it adds up to the original experience we had. That's why it starts slow and builds. And also, joy brings much greater satisfaction, a lasting satisfaction. But pleasure leaves you weaker. Why the pleasure leaves you weaker is you start, when you do something that brings pleasure for you, you experience pleasure. The memory of the action stays with you. You remember, I did that, I had a good feeling. But you don't recall exactly how was the good feeling. You go after that action, and then the second time is not as good as the first time, and you do it more, and it becomes excessive and addictive. And
that
also,
sounded like the people who smoke cigarettes, that exactly explains cigarette smoking. Like with the first cigarette, you have a good feeling, and then you want to repeat that pleasure. So then as you repeat and you repeat, you're getting some sort of a feeling, but at the end, you're not really helping yourself, and you're losing something. So I can see how you mean it.
Absolutely. And also, things that bring joy bring an increase in personal value and character attributes. Joy is a sense of fulfillment. And also, joy is often an in-the-moment experience, in the present-moment experience. It happens when we absorb a beauty or a meaningful activity to a deeper level of awareness. If I want to make it, you know, simple, if I want to, you know, make it easier to understand, for example, you are having a life experience, such as holding your baby after birth, or making someone really happy, or doing something that is serving humanity, and is in line with love, justice, freedom, kindness, forgiveness, all of these humanistic characteristics, then the person experiences joy, even though there is no instant physical or biological gratification. And even sometimes people, they feel joyful when they give something to someone. Rather than gaining something, they give something. And that feeling just becomes, stays with them, and it attributes to their character, and they feel happy with themselves. And also,
I really found what you said really interesting about the experiences. So in other words, joy really comes with experiences that are more humanistic. It serves humanity and is around love and bringing a sense of peace and justice or kindness. So it's not necessarily depending upon any tools or any gadgets or any material to feel it, versus pleasure that usually needs an element, needs an external force to create it. Isn't that interesting that how we just take this for granted, and we do not often enough seek that kind of a free or no attachment, joy that's within us? Isn't that what we see with most of our clients in our sessions?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But believe it or not, like I have experience, I'm working with a group of teen pregnant mom, which their life is full with trauma and problems, but they never experienced, you know, love since childhood. But when I sit with them in the session, when they talk about birth, when they talk about holding their babies, it's when they talk with joy and they are so fulfilled. And this is the experience that for throughout the whole life that they tell me that, well, that now we know what is love. We know what is the joyful experiences. And that glimpse is enough. They know where is the anchor and where they can hold on to it. And as you said, it has been, we have been hijacked from our natural tendency to experience life, to experience happiness, and to experience joy by media, by advertising, and by, you know, all of the misleading informations we are getting from here and there.
So it's the numbing experience that is a problem with pleasure seeking and enjoy. We really, not only we're not numbing our feelings, we're just more open to them. We look at joy with more compassion and openness and acceptance, but with pleasure, we're just indulging and we're avoiding pain and suffering most of the time.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. And I think after, if hopefully for the listeners to this program, we have been successful to stimulate some thoughts that they decipher between pleasure and happiness, and then they be able to, you know, separate them. We are not against pleasurable experiences, but at least we want to, as you said, bring in some awareness that this is not all. There is something else into it, which then you feel content and happy and fulfilled, and you won't experience anxiety that much, or you don't have to really work hard to chase after pleasure to the excess, which has no reward for you.
And since you are an art therapist, I want to invite you to speak a little bit more about how art in general, like music part of it, film, paintings, you know, generally all kinds of arts are joyful enough and they are not used enough in, you know, in our pleasure-seeking model to compensate. For me personally, I remember that some of the hardest times of my life, it was music, for example, that helped me just by listening to different songs or different lyrics or different melodies. I was able to soothe myself and get through hardship, and that didn't require much outside the stimulus except just putting myself in a position that I could be exposed to this form of art. And I'm sure with your experience with your students or your clients, you can see how art is healing in a way. Is that right?
But yes, it is right. Like beauty, we, as Maslow said, we have a need for beauty. In order we reach our self-actualization, self-individuation, we need to experience beauty. And experiencing beauty is not by owning it, by enjoying it. When you see beauty, you recognize it. When a person creates something that it looks beautiful to that person, a client, for example, comes and creates something or expresses herself or himself, and it creates something that is meaningful to them, and it's like feedback to them that they are worthy, they have something to take care for in life, and they are creative. As one of our premier in art therapy, Margaret Nomberg and Kramer, they said that it's called art as therapy. That means you create beauty, you enjoy it, it has a therapeutic effect on you. You listen to music, and the music is in tune with you, and it's uplifting. Not every music, you know, some of them, they have lyrics on them, which actually, again, promoting using alcohol, promoting sex, like giving subliminary messages to listener,
right.
Even though the tune is very uplifting and happy, but appropriate music that stimulates some good feeling in a person.
Also, let's see what I have chosen for you for this part. See how joyful this is.
Let's see. Thank you. That was great. I love that, actually.
Hopefully that didn't have any sublimed messages that would just pleasure-seeking, and this was just joyful.
It was joyful. I was actually trying to relate it to some sounds in the nature. It was actually promoting beauty for me, at least. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Good. So let me just ask the last question, then. What do we need to watch out for? How can we be smart enough to distinguish between the joy and pleasure? We have talked about the differences. We have talked about the definitions. But how can we watch out? How can we be more careful in order not to fall in the trap of pleasure instead of joy?
I think the best way is to test, is like a checking and testing ourselves before taking action. For example, if a person is trying to have fun, like taking pleasure is famous to having fun. Like, I want to have fun. We go to party, we drink, and then they just stop for a minute and see after the party how would they feel, just after the fact. After that activity they are taking. And I know they are the first things that the people are yearning for is a joyful experience and some more meaningful experience in their lives. But as soon as they pause a little, just few seconds, and check their intention, what they want to take out of this activity. If it's just pleasure, go for it, because you know at the end it's not going to last, or you know you can't expect that it's going to serve you after it's done, and it might have some even, you know, hangover, side effects, some problems, cause some problem, be prepared for it. But if you really are looking for joyful experience, it's very important that to pause for a little bit and see if it leads to joy. And the only way to know it, by knowing the differences that we talked about, differences between pleasure and joy.
Very good. You know, I get this question myself from a lot of my patients and my clients, you know, how to make this distinction and not to fall in the trap. And there are three things that I usually recommend myself. Number one is setting clear boundaries. I think boundary setting is really important and something that we are not necessarily taught in our childhood. And as adults, if we have not really been able to see boundaries in our households, in our earlier environment, it becomes more difficult. So setting boundaries kind of goes back to what you just suggested, understanding where our limitations are, how much we can go forward and how much we cannot go forward. Unfortunately, again, with the marketing for gratification that's all around us, we can see that, you know, there's so many cell phones now. You know, laptops, the watches, so many games and cars, and you know, there's so many things. And when you come to fashion and beauty, you look like as cosmetic surgeries and Botoxes, diets. You know, then you go, you come to entertainment, you see so many different sports that they can be indulging, different programs and commercials and the reality shows, competitiveness that is encouraged. There's so many areas that we can easily fall into trap, but it's our responsible choices after setting boundaries that make the difference. We need to be able to clarify each situation, as you were suggesting, and through clarity, set boundaries and make the responsible choices. Those are the three areas that I continue to recommend and I truly believe in. I believe that through clarity, we are not falling into traps. Through setting boundaries, we have ability to get closer or get farther away from situations that are not in our best interest or are effective for us. And then once we have those boundaries, then we have our choices based upon our education, based upon our understanding, and taking responsibility to figure things out. I think those three are really important. And in my practice, like yours, the focus is usually on finding relaxation techniques that can take over the place of areas that people have been self-indulgent or self-gratifying, have been practicing self-gratification. So I guess by learning self-relaxation techniques, there's a lot that can be compensated for what they're going to miss out through pleasure-seeking.
Oh, I totally agree, because if we want to take the pleasure-seeking activities out, we have to replace it with something. And it's very important that to replace with some activities which bring joy. And I totally recommend that instead of, you know, grabbing another donut, for example, to eat, try to
have an apple.
Your apple or... That's not true. Do you know, or even if, do you know, something that is coming from inside, something that the person knows when they do it, the activity that is innate, it's related to creativity. They have to be creative. They create something rather than just using. Do you know, it's something meaningful to them. If they can replace that with that activity, to get help, if they don't know what is that, just, you know, to get help to, you know,
there are so many good books, there are so many good therapists, there are so many good lectures. And so I totally agree with you. The getting help in the areas that we are not equipped enough to deal with the situations, I guess, is the best advice that we could give to anyone. There are so many techniques like EMDR, which I have found like magic, working with old habits and desensitizing the reasons that it comes, or art therapy, and so many other ways that people can find ways. I just want to thank you for the time, and I want to give you the last words, and I wish you and all of our listeners the best. Go ahead and make your statement.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. And I would like to end it with this. Please replace the pleasurable activities with the activities or hobbies that help you build and develop your talents, and or help someone, bring kindness to your life. And
that's
then
really a great
experience. Okay,
that's
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, but I think the last thing you said, we should have talked a lot more about that. I'm hoping that another time we can talk about the gift of giving and how by giving we can really feel good and not be pleasure-seeking or and give pleasure to people in that way.
That's true.
Thank you so much and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Have a wonderful night.
This is the last song. This one called Joy and Pleasure.
Thank you.